New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
Within football, we have silos.
We talk about hiring the man first, the coach second. I think he is an unbelievable person.
Every single person in this locker room right now is playing professional football.
Aaron get COVID, and the week they're like, yeah, you starting. And I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Just here to tell you, Pack is back.
What's up, guys? This is Jeff Giannis.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, the number one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joined this week with Todd. Todd.
Hello.
And welcome to another victory podcast. 2-1. This week we'll review the victory in Tennessee. I know we're a little late, but I got busy with life stuff. We'll look into who's really making the decisions on if Jordan Love is playing or not. We'll have SVP, some shit, vomit, piss, which was a new segment last week.
A very popular one, I might add.
Stump Spenny, Packers trivia, and then, of course, preview the Vikings game. But, Todd, how is it going? God, it's been another week, a little delayed. I was in Moorhead, Minnesota last night for a Sturgill Simpson concert, and maybe we'll get into that later with SVP, because SVP even knew about it. But
that's true.
that's one of the... We shouldn't get into it yet. But, Todd, how's it going? How are you feeling about this team, man? Things are good.
I got to say, I feel really good about the team. It's tough to really know what this is going to be without Jordan Love at the helm, because, you know, that's what we're going to see down the stretch, at least we hope. But, like, watching Matt LaFleur with Malik at the helm is, like, it's masterful. It's beautiful. Like, just watching it, it's like, oh my God, like, there's so much Shanahan. Like, there's so much creativity in the run game in LaFleur's brain. Like, it's so fun to watch, but it's like a different kind. Like, he's his own spin. I mean, they're doing stuff that, you know, Shanahan does, but, like, yeah, it's fun to watch. I'm doing good. Yeah, it's great.
Like, you know, and we've said it a couple of times, you know, especially October last year, it's like I was just almost stressed in my daily life because I'm like, oh my God, Mark Murphy, what's he going to do? Is he going to fire LaFleur? This is going so poorly. Oh my God, Jordan Love isn't the guy. Now it's like, could Malik Willis be a starting quarterback in the NFL? Like, did Matt LaFleur just do that?
In the right system, I think he could be. It's possible.
Yeah, and I mean, shit, let's just get into it right now. Packers winning 32-14 in Tennessee. First time they have ever won in Tennessee, which is a little surprising.
Oh.
Malik Willis, first guy to talk about, obviously. 13 for 19, 202 yards, the one touchdown. He was sacked three times, but then He was the leading passer and rusher for the Packers. And going into halftime, he was the leading passer and rusher in the NFL on Sunday, which is pretty remarkable. But
wow.
Again, I mean, just that first drive, there was the last 2 weeks, it's been funny how we've had our backup quarterback starting. And I never thought we were going to lose either of them after the game really kicked off, because this first drive too, fucking first play, Jaden Reed, nice little play action, find him wide open for like, what, 30 yards. Right after that, couple plays, another third down, Christian Watson deep bomb, and then the Malik Willis rushing touchdown. I mean, it's fun. It's, you know, we talked about it when we knew the Malik was going to start a couple games here, and we were like, this would be fun, but I wish it was later in the season when they had a couple wins built up, and now he's got a better record starting in 2024 than Jordan Love.
Well, and we were all, I think, scared. I mean, coming into it, we didn't really think Malik was going to be able to do anything early on in the season. Like, it's like, okay, maybe next year this pays off. He's got some time in the system and he can figure it out. He can kind of refine his throwing motion, you know, whatever we were thinking. But he comes in and LaFleur just tailors an offense to Malik, gets him going on the ground, and then... You know, what is he? He hasn't thrown over 20 balls in a game. It was like, what, 14 balls and 19. I think it was 14 and 19, right? And so it's like he's throwing, but like it's efficient. And like that dude is making good decisions. I don't know if you guys saw like when we traded for him, was it Taylor Lewan on like Bussin' with the Boys?
And he was like, he said this before his first start. It wasn't when they traded. It was when he was filling in for Jordan Love that he started to really talk shit.
So it was when he knew that he was going to be playing. Okay, so he was basically like, Malik's a great guy. Like, said all the nice things about him. And he's like, dude doesn't know ball. And I'm like, he couldn't be more wrong. And like, the rest of us were wrong too. But like, that right. Taylor Lewan was super wrong. Like, Malik, when he goes out there, like, it's like Jordan, calm, poised. He's just like, and he's making good decisions. It looks like that's what's wild to me is like, he's pushing the ball down the field when he needs to. And even when there's guys open underneath, and we talked about this a little bit before starting the pod, it's like when he has to push the ball on the field, he's not taking the underneath, which is great. And he's like finding Christian Watson on a deep crosser, deep in, whatever it is. And like, normally a young guy, and I know he's been in the league for a couple of years, but like they're going to find any outlet ball they can throw and they're going to throw it. That's just what guys who aren't confident do. But that's not Malik, and it's just super fun to watch. And then props to Matt LaFleur for like these insane, like, you know, the orbit motions and just like the screen, like the timing of it has been beautiful too. And like not just the scripted plays, it's late in the game. I don't have enough good things to say about Malik and Matt right now.
Yeah, for sure. And like you're talking about there, the mistake-free stuff, I texted you on Sunday, and I was like, he reminds me of Aaron Rodgers. And you're like, whoa. And I'm like, no. But the way he's playing quarterback is like the 2019 Aaron Rodgers, who probably played the most within Matt LaFleur's system. He wasn't like, there weren't these big plays, but it was, you know, a bit of an improvement from the previous year. But it's just making sure you're not making those mistakes. Like, the only mistake he really made that I can remember in pretty much both the games was taking that sack on third down. But then at the same time, it's like, well, you don't want to force anything in the end zone too. So just take those free points with the field goal. I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening with him. But like you said, you know, we were saying we don't know ball, and clearly he does. Again, he is the perfect backup quarterback. The poise with this guy, they even asked him after the game.
They're baiting him
a little bit. And this kind of goes into, I was going to say this too about his time with the Titans. He never took he was splitting team snaps even when he started those three games for him because Tannehill was questionable. So he never started a game before this with an actual game plan around him or just knowing that he was going to play. Anyways, after this game, you know, it's been all this talk. Is Jordan Love going to start? Is Malik going to start? How much, you know, those team reps in week leading up to the game? Malik was asked post game, how many team snaps did he take during the week? He said, and in the most polite, authentic way possible, which is just the way this guy comes across with everything he says, I don't know. I wasn't counting. It's like, what a perfect fucking love answer it. To kind of say like, fuck you to the guy. Just keep moving. Yeah. Loved it.
I'm not answering your question.
So, I don't know. Hopefully we don't see Malik again. I don't think he's going to play this week, but you legitimately cannot ask more out of your backup quarterback. Like, in where would you want him to improve? Be a little goofier? That's where I'm at.
I don't even know. Like, because we're not making him throw the ball 40 times a game. I'm sure if you asked him to do that, there would be things that we could say. But for what he has done, the body of work that he has put out there,
yeah.
Like, and I would even say, like, the sack that he took, right? Like, look, watch the All-22. I bet if you go back and watch it, I bet it's pretty good coverage. You're in the red zone, short field. Like, I bet that was a tough one. It was probably the right play. I'm just guessing, just based on the fact that, like, his decision-making prior has been, like, so good. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you... He's literally... This is, like, best-case scenario for him. I hope he gets another shot. Like, I think, like, if we... It's not that I don't want him on the team, because I want him on the team, but like, this dude could, in the right system, probably be pretty good. I mean, if he plays like this, he could be really
maybe,
good.
I mean, it would be interesting to see him in a third game, and maybe he would fall apart, because it is kind of, you know, some of his mechanics and stuff are
they
little
figure you out
more
too.
Tape on you too. We do have 2 years with this contract, so this year and next year, but yeah, I'm curious to see what ends up happening with his career. Moving on to the running backs. Again, I mean, Emmanuel Wilson, 12 carries, 50 yards. Josh Jacobs had 14 for 43. Emmanuel Wilson, my bold prediction did hit. That's 2 weeks in a row we've had bold predictions hitting. I had him getting his first career touchdown, and what a beautiful screen with the ghost of Brandon Jackson, I'm sure, guiding him along. Just the nice little hesitation and then just rushing right up the middle when he had to. Beautiful. The hurdle was interesting. Did you see what Christian Watson said post game? So Christian Watson, you know, later on, he hurdled too on the sideline, which was funny because he tried to jump over a guy, landed on his back kind of weird, and there was that quarter second where you're like, and then he, you know, looks at the camera like,
right, because he's a glass cannon.
So Christian Watson was asked after the game something about the hurdles, and he said that he had breakfast with Emmanuel. And while they were having breakfast, they just happened to talk about guys hurdling in football. So it seems like maybe it was a subconscious thing with both of them to try it in that game.
I feel like they had thought about it unless, at breakfast. And they're like,
unless Christian
right.
Watson's fucking around with like whoever was asking the question of him in the media. But and then Emmanuel Wilson, too, we saw him post on Twitter that play. He quote tweeted it and said, I was laughing when he jumped in the air. He was laughing. So it's nice to have these things after a victory, at least. But yeah, that, I mean, Josh Jacobs was fine. They pretty much split snaps 33 to 26. I think that was more of a product of just the game getting away from the Titans and not wanting Josh Jacobs to get a bunch more carries. And then Chris Brooks, who I couldn't remember the name of last week when I brought him up. I said Benson. The two top rookie running backs this year were Benson and Brooks. So that's why I said Benson. I could not think of Brooks. Came in for three plays, 3 yards, the A.J. Dillon stat line there. He was the lead blocker on a couple plays. That was interesting. But, I mean, yeah. Run game, fine enough. You know, 188 yards, including Malik's rushing. I don't know how much we have to add to it. I guess the biggest thing is just Emmanuel Wilson seems to be a pretty reliable number two running back, especially with that blitz pickup he had on third down, I believe, which was the one weakness he seemed to have for the longest time.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I don't know what the actual stat is, but I bet if you went and looked at his yards per carry, Emmanuel Wilson has probably one of the better yards per carry in the league, just from he gets in there and he somehow like is ripping off these 10, 12 yard runs, it seems like.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wasn't expecting the 1-2 punch of Jacobs and Wilson to be this good this early. I didn't think that was going to happen. I knew we would be fine without Dylan. And I know you have probably strong feelings in that area anyway.
We've never talked about that.
But no, I'm just pleasantly surprised. So, and then once Marshawn Lloyd comes back, I mean, this is going to be a really fun group come November, December.
Yeah, so. Marshawn, again, I mean, it is shaping up for him to be that James Starks, especially. Someone posted this on Twitter. I think it was that Big B Kid. But on the Packers website, he was listed under the injured reserve not to return. That might have just been an intern who didn't know where to put names on the website.
How does that happen?
And it, maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, but it just, it would be funny if like availability, a reporter's like, hey, on the website, it says he's in this spot. Is that true?
And they're like, ah, shit.
Wideouts, starting things off. I mean, God, I don't know which way to go. I'm going to go with Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed is wide receiver one until otherwise proven, I think, even though he wasn't the leading receiver in this game. But 4 receptions, 50 yards. He did have 2 runs for 19. That nice one for 15 to pick up the first was very cool. But yeah, first play, we talked about that too. Very fun, wide open. I could have made that catch. Maybe Luke Musgrave could have made that catch. And I put this out on Twitter. He is the new, you know, filling in for Aaron Jones, who was the guy for the last 5-6 years. The how did he get up from that hit guy? Where there's a couple times he gets hit a little awkwardly, yeah, and you hold your breath and you're like, oh, he popped right up. All right, I'm not going to worry about you. Watson, he had the big catch in the first series. That second catch, which we also talked about, he just had those 2 receptions for 67 yards. And then Dobbs and Wicks only combined for the 1 catch, which Dobbs had. So I'm looking forward to the normal offense coming back, and especially Jordan Love, you know, a little banged up with the knee. Maybe he's going to have to be more of a pocket passer anyway, so we can see these wideouts show up like we were expecting coming into the year.
Yeah, a little surprised that Wicks didn't have any catches this week, but again, we didn't throw the ball a whole lot, and it was good to see Watson catch that deep ball down the right side early on. Was that a third down also? That was a beautiful play to see Watson go up and get that one, and like the way he dropped that thing in a bucket was really nice to see too. So Malik, that is. So yeah, I don't know. It's tough for the receivers right now when we're not throwing the ball, you know, throwing the ball less than 20 times a game, but hopefully that changes this week.
Crazy might be a little over the top, but the NFL's just kind of in a weird spot right now, and it's the beginning of the year, and we don't really know who's good, who's bad and shit, and how things are going to work out. But to see this, you know, the wideouts that we have and the offense, we've been doing pretty well. And then, like, what, Caleb Williams threw the ball, like, 52 times this week? Just fucking nuts.
What is going on in Chicago?
We need to start rooting for the Bears so that they can ruin Caleb Williams. Keep Waldron around to ruin Caleb, and then we're all, especially with, I don't know if Daniels is going to be that great, you know, the Washington kid who really showed up on Monday Night Football,
Yeah. Side note, Ryan Poles, the GM for the Bears, he was an offensive lineman. How did he put that offensive line together to go out and block? You know what I mean?
Because I like, thought...
It's your thing. That's the thing you should be good at seeing, I would think. I don't know.
No, it is a good point. I mean, they did take Darnell Wright. I don't know how good he's been, but I know as a rookie, he was halfway decent. I believe they took Roma Dunze over Joe Alt, who I think he was still available at 9. And God, for a tackle to fall that far.
Dude, wild.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see. I'm happy. I hope he sticks around for a while, because... I think they've drafted halfway decent overall, but again,
I think so too. But like during the draft, I thought I was the idiot when they passed on like some of these offensive linemen. I was like, oh, I'm the idiot. Like they actually probably have a way better line than we think. And like, I'm the dumbass. But turns out Ryan Poles is the dumbass.
It is still 3 games into this rookie class's career. And Roma Dunze could be a generational wide receiver too. So.
He could be, but like if Caleb Williams dies on the field, which is possible, he could die out there. Like literally,
that offensive line plus
the way he's getting hit,
Soldier Field. Yeah, he bad combo. Moving on,
the only thing they got going for him is nobody can run fast on Soldier
Field.
That's
a good point. Tight end. I mean, it's just the Tucker Kraft show, baby. That's what it is.
Yeah, does Ben Sims have any snaps this year?
I think he had 2 snaps in this game. But again, it was a little bit closer. Tucker Kraft got banged up with that shoulder injury. So during the week, he had a red non-contact jersey on for that shoulder, plays in the game, gets hurt, hurts the shoulder, you know, questionable to return. All of a sudden, he's back out there playing, you know, made a tackle on special teams.
Well, they
teams.
Announced it on the broadcast. They announced that he was injured on the broadcast. And I text you something. During the broadcast, and then I saw him as I hit send on the field. I was like, oh, I guess he's not.
It was weird because on Twitter, like for 10 minutes, we knew he was hurt. And then they didn't bring it up until the series after, and then by the time that happened, he was already back out there. But yeah, whatever. Tucker, he did have the two catches for 24 yards. I mean, the one, two, where he just fucking, like, lowers his net, his whole head, and, like, swims under a dude.
Just the get off
and
me.
And then you see Luke, who, what did he have? The one catch for 3 yards again, or whatever it was. Yeah, it was.
Yes.
And then in the backfield, that one play where he had to block, and he just gets blown up. It's tough.
Yeah, that was bad.
Tight ends, it's a very tough position, and it usually takes them a while to develop in the NFL. Kelce, Mark Andrews, Kittle even. Like, it takes a couple years.
Yep.
Tucker Kraft has just been an animal, and Luke already was a very green tight end as is. He didn't play college ball much in his last year there. He only played two or three or four games, I believe, before he got injured. So, I don't know. Yeah,
he'll figure it out.
One guy who never gets tackled by the first guy, and the other guy who always does, or maybe he won't catch the ball. So, we'll see. I'm just still very, very happy that Tucker Kraft... I mean, if he's not your favorite Packer, I just don't know what you're doing.
He's a dog.
Absolute dog. Offensive line... I mean, it's, you know, we kind of, this is the part where on offense, we usually feel a little bit more negative, but at the same time, once again, just one of the better pass blocking offensive lines in the league. Even Rashid Walker is one of the better pass blocking options, even though he, leads the league or is one of the most penalized offensive linemen in the league. His name is Rashid Walker, but I like to call him Rashid Holder. And then Elton too, man. He had a few penalties on Sunday, and he had a couple in the previous couple games too, and
I'm not sold that those were penalties though, because we never got replays of any of Elton's holds. I'm like, what? Where are these holds? I want
replays
to see them.
Are fewer and far between every single year, it seems like. I swear, there's like a memo that the NFL puts out to like Fox and CBS, like, please don't show replays. We don't want to show how bad the refs are, and we don't want to show like things that were missing. I swear.
That's the cover up.
Maybe, you know, maybe it's time to put more ad space, or they can find little things to show on the screen. I don't know, but offensive line still feeling good overall. Jordan Morgan did not practice today. He has not been put on the IR yet either, so I would think hopefully he practices later this week, but if he's not practicing next week, we might have an issue. It's like I said last week, I'm surprised he wasn't put on the IR with the kind of negativity surrounding him, it seemed like. But yeah, that's the offense. God, anything else to talk about, Todd? I mean, it's one of those where it's like we didn't have a ton of possessions, but we really can't complain about anything.
Just hats off to LaFleur with the play calling. Whatever that is, whatever he's been doing, I mean, if that's what he wants to do, man, he's good at it. Like, coming up with those run plays is so fun. And then mixing in the right pass plays. Like
the screen we talked about with to Emmanuel Wilson, it looked like the Aaron Jones screen pass touchdown against the Bears last year a little bit, where you fake it the one way and then you flip around and just swing it out there. You got a whole fucking caravan leading the way. Very, very fun.
And that opening, the opening play was just like, because you knew we had run the ball so much the week before, and you knew that defense was hungry to stop the run. And so did they fake a toss? Is that like what it was? They kind of like faked a toss out to the to the right. And the entire defense, the second level just shifts, the linebackers move over, and then it's just wide open, like just masterful.
And with that, we will have a quick commercial break.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
All right, and we are back with the defense. The defense allowed 14 points, which is 2 touchdowns, including extra points. Will Levis wasn't very good. He had the 2 interceptions, which were very funny. I like this. Did you see what Elton said about the day, how the defense played?
No.
He said, on defense, man, them boys were on their ass like a back pocket. I hadn't heard that phrase before, so that was pretty good. But again...
Oh, that's hilarious.
And the defense, I mean, fucking obviously the 8 sacks... It's crazy to me, and defensive ends, you know, well, right now, 8 sacks. So 7 different players, Isaiah, Quay, Wyatt, JJ, Cooper, Preston, LVN, had at least a partial sack. Rashawn Gary did not have a sack. He had the one that got called back. He probably should get credit for LVN's where he, you know, LVN's wrapping around and Gary forced him that way and got the sack.
He's getting pressure.
He did have 4 pressures in the game too. But God, if like, what were the odds if someone told you the Packers were going to have 8 sacks and that Rashawn Gary was going to have none of them? I mean, 0% right? chance. Preston, he had the 2 sacks. Also had that offsides where that happens at least once or twice a year where he lines up in the wrong spot. Did you see?
And at a horrible time too to do that.
Third down, I swear.
Oh.
And did you see, I didn't want to repost it or quote tweet up from the account. Someone has it's a video, but it's a bunch of images like the shutter from a camera. So it's a little spaced out.
Oh,
so it's okay. It's Preston doing his sack celebration, you know, where he looks up and puts his hands up in the air. you see the paunch jiggle in it. Like, you see his tummy jiggle, and it just got a laugh out of me. He's a big boy. And LVN, you know, we had, God, what was his name? The trash can full of dirt, the defensive tackle out of Iowa.
Oh. What was it?
It's going to come to me.
Start with an H? Was there an H in there?
I don't think it was an H. God, it comes in. It's like I start getting the name.
Wolf, okay. I'll keep talking, and then so he, I'm not going to look it up,
the trash can full of dirt. LVN, he's just the trash man. He just cleans up plays. You know, he was this on that one. He recovered the fumble that JJ forced. The other sack he had earlier this year was just kind of a cleanup play. So he is officially... Oh, Jack Heflin. Jack Heflin. There you go. Just get some...
Did I say H, right?
Yeah, yep. Yep, you're right. I was wrong for the H there. But so, sometimes you just got to start thinking about something else and then revert back. And it's like, my brain is working correctly again here.
Yeah.
But yeah, not a lot to complain about. It was nice to see the, I always forget if it's the Psycho or NASCAR package, but all the linebackers out there.
That's NASCAR. NASCAR is all edge defenders. Okay. So all ends. You put four ends out there, that's NASCAR. You put all linebackers out there, that's Psycho.
Oh, there you go. They were just always interchangeable to me.
So if you run a 3-4, you're more likely to run Psycho. You've got more linebackers on your roster.
Yeah, that makes sense. But are you worried about Rashawn Gary? Are you worried about the pass rush? It was nice how I think at halftime, I was a little bit worried that we weren't putting more pressure on. And then the second half, it's like the offensive line gave up. That right tackle got benched. Like, it was in one of the more hilarious JJ or blowups that I think we've seen in his career.
Excuse me. I do think that I'm not like worried, but I'm like a little bit like, oh, where did I leave the panic button? Should I find it? Just in case in a few weeks I need it. And it's not that like he's not doing anything, but it's like it's just always like as fans, we get like it's that caliber thing of like, oh, we're paying JR this money. Like, if he's not doing shit, like, we're going to be upset. Like, give us what we paid for type of thing. And, you know, anyways. I'm not like worried, but it's a little bit like, is everybody figuring out, is he like really just a one trick pony? And then, and that's what's stopping him? Because like with JJ having those wins and JJ being a guy that's like got all the tools seemingly, like without the physical capabilities, like he just has like different win moves, I guess I would say. And like the way that he stepped inside on that one where he clotheslined Will Levis and then LVN did the teabag as he picked up the fumble. Like, you just like watch that and you're like, well, Rashawn doesn't really, he doesn't really do that. He's going to beat you physically. Yeah. Like, that's his play. But like, I mean, right tackles are good too. Like, they're strong guys. So like, maybe that's the part that's, and maybe he's not quite as explosive after the ACL. Like, that's what worries me, is that does he never get back to being as explosive as he was before? That's the scary
and
thing.
It's just one of those things where when we paid him, I think he was like the fifth highest paid edge rusher in the league. You want those guys to have the capability to take over a game. And I feel like in 2022, I added 20 too many times there. It felt like that before he tore his ACL. And that's, I think that's kind of what you're saying too, that we're looking for that to come back. And like you were saying, JJ's got more moves. Do you remember who he was compared to with his RAS score coming out of the draft? Zanarius. No. Low RAS scores, but kind of technicians.
Really?
Yep. Moving on to defensive tackle. I mean, probably maybe the most surprising and then kind of the biggest letdown of the year, Wyatt and Kenny Clark. I mean, Kenny Clark hasn't showed up too much. It can be tough to judge the defensive line, and it's not like the defense has been terrible. We just haven't seen those splash plays we're used to from Kenny. And then, I mean, Wyatt, again, what, another 2-sack day for him, causing havoc. He is obviously the number one beneficiary of this Jeff Hafley defense, where he just gets to rush the passer. But, I mean, fuck, I'm pretty happy. We haven't had, I'm still waiting for Carl Brooks to show up on the stat sheet with creating some pressure here. He had a nice play where he chased down the running back, I think like 15 yards downfield, which is always fun to see. But I don't know. The defensive line, Colby Wooden, inactive again. I'm pleased with them thus far.
I think, too, I do think we'll see Kenny come into this a little bit more. I do think he's eating up a lot of double teams in there. So hopefully at that three tech spot, he's able to have a little bit more flash. But yeah, Wyatt with that pressure. I mean, he's got that pressure up the middle consistently. And we always talked about him as being the pressure guy, but three sacks in three games now we're looking at. And it's like, yeah, this is looking pretty good. And the way he comes off the ball, I mean, he looks healthy. So
more flash plays. He's always had those flash plays, but now he's actually finishing them too. Linebacker. Quay, I mean, they had that nice fourth down stop, but still you watch him and you just see him like slightly hesitating. You can kind of see him thinking a little bit, but I'll take it on that fourth down there, him running downhill and getting the sack. Cooper still isn't getting a ton of snaps, but God, was he impressive on that half sack on the NASCAR package. Yeah. That was fun to see. But inside linebacker, I don't want to harp on it all year, but do you want to see any changes? It, again, was mostly Quay and Isaiah McDuffie in the middle. I know Eric Wilson got beat once on a long pass, but is there any moves you'd make? I guess I was surprised that Wilson wasn't out there on fourth down, just the way he seems to play, or third down, whatever it was, where we got that sack. But those big plays is where he shows up, so I was a little surprised to see McDuffie out there, but either way.
I've got to say, I'm like, I don't love Quay, but like when you watch him, I watch a little bit of like the All-22 where you get a really good look at like what the linebacker is looking at and just like how they're reacting. And it just like, he looks lost. And I don't know if this is something that's like with the new defense, it's going to take him a while to just like be able to, like we want Quay to not have to think. We want Quay to go out there and just move and react. He's fast, athletic.
Quay, I tackle.
You saw it on the fourth down play. Yeah, just like, dude, just go. Like, that's what we want. One of my buddies actually thinks Quay will be an edge defender.
I said that like 2 weeks ago. I said that there's a chance that'll happen just to dumb the game down for him. Why, did Shea say that too? Yeah.
You said that?
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. But I think that, so, I don't know that that's going to happen, but like, it almost would make a lot of sense to just be like, you just run. Just run. Like, you don't have to read guards. You don't have to read through the guard to the running back to figure out what's happening. Like, just go. Or blitz him.
Yeah.
I mean, run blitz him, pass blitz him. Just blitz him all the time. And like, because he's way more effective if you're like, dude, you're going. Like, and just use your athletic ability. But also, like, you watch him run and chase down a play and you're like, there's Quay. That's the Quay that we need. Like, from the weak side, chasing down a play, filling in like the gaps, the alleys, that's what he's good at. And like, so we don't run a lot of base, but if we did, he's the weak side linebacker. But then it's like when we run nickel, I'm like, I don't know if he's going to be the best guy, one of the best two right on the field by the end of the year. I don't know. That's my fear for him. It's like, if he doesn't figure it out, I don't know that he's one of the best two.
And the other thing that got me a little worried, and this little, don't worry, this is a fun little story I guess we'll have here. Last week, Halfley at his weekly presser, Wilde was asking him about Quay, and he was building it up to be an absolute softball question, be like, you know, we know he's struggling a little bit, blah, blah, blah. And Halfley like cuts him off, and he's like, I'm really, really happy about where Quay is right now, and I'm really excited for where Quay's going to be. And it just, the cutting off, the extra optimism makes you think that they're a little worried about him. And I think, you know, after he dropped that pick against the Colts too, LaFleur was saying that Quay was beating himself about it. Halfley said he was beating himself about it. I think it is one of those things too where they're just trying to keep his mentals high as well. I mean, we've seen him cry in his locker room multiple times now with him getting kicked out. So I don't know.
I feel bad because there's nobody that like we want to succeed more than Quay. Like, we want him to be what he can be, which is like when he's at his best, he's amazing. I mean, he's got all the tools, but it's like we got to put him in a position where like he's not reading. He's just going. Like, he doesn't, because like even you watch Isaiah, is McDuffie is like at snap and pre-snap, and when the snap hits, he's like drifting towards where he needs to be. Like, he's seeing what's happening. And like, granted, I guess to make it to the NFL, if you don't have the physical skills, you kind of have to have the instincts. But like, it's just telling when it's like Quay is like a half a Mississippi after the snap before he moves. And you're like, that's way too long in the NFL. Like, In college, that might work, but like in the NFL, that doesn't work.
So we'll see. Here we go. Here's a take. I think when his career is over with the Green Bay Packers, whatever, if he goes to a different team, blah, 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 I think we're going to look back at his career like we do Demaryius Randle, who looked pretty good his rookie year.
What could have
and
been.
And it was kind of a, you know, he was a dummy in different ways. Like, I think he got kicked out at, like, halftime. Like, McCarthy had him sent him to the locker room during, like, a preseason game or something.
Oh, that's right. So, he was off the team right after that, I think, right?
I don't know, because we traded him in that first offseason with Goody. We traded him away for DeShone Kizer. And then the Browns moved him to safety. And I think he was okay. And then he tweeted out that if the Cavs won the NBA Finals, he would, everyone who retweets this tweet, he'll buy them a jersey. I remember that too.
How many jerseys did he buy?
I'm going to assume he was lying and he was just being a douchebag because he seems to be kind of a douchebag. Corner, Jair, first pick 6 cents high school for him. Never did it in college. We're back to the thing with Jair. I think we look for those splash plays, but now he kind of just disappears, which is what you want from your corners as well, your elite guys.
Yeah.
Eric Stokes got beat bad. I mean, that touchdown was just embarrassing where he couldn't push him out or tackle him before crossing the pylon there. Tyler Brook tweeted this out. Although it wasn't a great game from Eric Stokes, he was targeted 8 times for 6 catches and a touchdown, but it was only 45 yards and 8 yards after the catch. And then you think about it too, and you can almost think about this with Isaiah McDuffie and Quay, who have not been great in coverage. When you have Jair and X and whoever else, I mean, Bullard out there at safety, it is kind of like you got to find the weakest link, and that's what it has been when they're forced to, you know, pass the ball against us so far this year.
Which I think is also why, I don't know what the statistics look like, but it feels like, and this has been in the past also, but like tight ends seem to have a fair amount. Like, so if that's what you're looking at, you're looking at the defense and going, okay, like there's some good corners out there. X has got to be terrifying if you're throwing a deep ball, right? Like just in these 3 games with 3 picks. But then it's like, yeah, these, I mean, I should just say at least they're picking on linebackers pretty much. I mean, they are really, we're going back to it, but like they're picking on Quay. So it's tough.
Safety, like you said, X with his 3rd pick in as many games. The Packers have now forced as many turnovers as they did all of last year, which is just...
Is it the same?
7.
Or is it more?
Yeah, 7. Okay. We're already up to the total, which, again, it's just, you look at the league, you look at Halfley, and I know...
Wait, we have 9, we have forced 9 turnovers.
Are you sure?
Yeah, 2 fumbles, 7 picks.
Yeah.
So maybe the stat you're thinking of is interceptions. That's
interceptions on the year. I think you're right. Ugh, there you go. See, that's why we need, it's nice to have an actual fact checker when, like, Andrew could never do it, and he didn't really know much of anything anyways. But yeah, the 3 picks, he said his goal for the year was 7, and he might change that if he gets to it, but it's, I don't know. It's nice to have that rangy safety back there when we haven't had anything close to it. Because that's the thing, everyone's like, he's the best safety since Nick Collins, and you're like, yeah. And you think, what's close? Like, Morgan Burnett, but he was never flashy.
And Morgan Burnett was, because he was like a box safety too, so you're talking about a different position. Yeah. So it's like... free safeties that we've had that are like rangy like that. We thought Haha was going to be the dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. And then Bullard too. I think Evans only played a handful of snaps in this game. They went down again because I think he had quite a few more the week before. Let me look here. But Bullard too, I know he had one big hit where it's like, okay, this guy is not afraid to, you know, run around. Oh, yeah. It was only 4 snaps for Evans once again after having 0 against the Eagles and then 30-some against the Colts. And now he's back down to that number. So curious to see if that will go up in the future.
I will say with Bullard, we got to get rid of, like, when you're hitting a big wideout or a tight end over the middle, you got to just wrap up. You're not putting... Bullard weighs, what, like 180 pounds? Like, he's not a big dude, and he's... I've seen a couple different times where he just bounces off guys, and it's like, we got to shore that up. But, like, that tackling's a tough thing, and everybody in the NFL sucks at tackling, so I guess it's par for the
course. You know, he is number 22, as in 20, as well. He's number 20.
20.
If he could grow out his hair, and he does have those dreads going back, he does have that same body type as Atari Bigby. I wonder, especially that tackling style too.
Atari Bigby was way bigger.
I would look it up. Your memories might be wrong. Because you look at Bullard, and when you see him, he's got kind of a big helmet. I don't think he's very tall, but his shoulders, his upper body is pretty thick. But he's not a big guy. He's just kind of like, you know, that rocket running along and then checking in dudes.
213. 5'11", 213 is what Atari Bigby was.
I'm going to move on to special teams. Narv Dog. He made his field goals. He made his kicks. But we all saw the one that he didn't make.
But he's officially... Did he kick three times or twice? He was 100%
three field goals, three extra points.
Three for three.
The one, I mean, what? It was 49 yards that he missed. So he's still... I think he has the most field goal attempts in the NFL right now. If not, he's in the top three for sure. And then Daniel Whelan again. I mean, fuck. It's fun watching him punt. He was, what, 6 inches, a foot off of a perfect punt?
That would have been amazing. That would have been, because the ball would have been down at, what, three?
Yeah, I think so. And then the other thing to talk about to get pissed off, like always, we had an illegal formation when we punted. Rich.
How many illegal formations do we have, though?
Well, I mean, there's illegal formations on the offensive line, which is one thing. But on a punt, you fucking can't get lined up. Rich, every week there's one stupid thing. And at least the camera went to him and I saw him like mad or pretending to be mad that, you know, it got messed up. And I think that fucked Whelan over on a pretty good punt, too. But it shouldn't be this tough. It could be a hell of a lot worse. We've had much worse. But when you're the top paid special teams coordinator, you're giving me the right to bitch about it because I am an owner of the team as well.
Javon Bullard, 5'10", 198. So as far as safeties go, they're pretty different.
The body type.
5'11", 213 to 5'10".
I mean, the weight is quite... Yeah, I guess Atari does carry a little bit more weight in his shoulders than Javon Bullard. But hey, you know...
Javon's not tiny. I mean, 5'10", 200 pounds, that's a big dude. I'm not. Yeah. He's not tiny, but it's like... Atari was.
And I've said this story before. When I was like, what, 16, going to training camp, I still remember him walking into the facility, and he had a shirt on that said, "Smoke weed, live longer." And this was, you know, right now, I think, I mean, you could get away with it now, too. But back then, when it was especially more frowned upon, it was, I was like,
yeah,
someone had to have said something about your shirt in the building. With that, yeah, I don't think we have anything else in this game. We will have take news.
Football time. Take news.
All right, take news for the week. Jordan Love, you know, we're three games into the year. We haven't been able to watch him as much as we'd want. We have talked about him quite a bit just because it's the will he, won't he play? Obviously, the knee injury looked like he was potentially going to play. Todd, you almost looked smart when this time last week you were saying he was going to play, and then he started practicing the day after, but it obviously didn't happen. But the whole thing has been, I don't know. I find it interesting. I know we talked about David Bakhtiari and Jair Alexander's injuries last year quite a bit, but it's always fun to figure out what's really going on behind closed doors, you know, based off of what we're getting from out of the media and everything. So, Jordan Love, and we'll get to it here. Who is in charge of if he or if he will not play in a given game? So, you know, Jordan Love gets hurt. Tom Pelissero, whoever, he's going to be out 2 to 6 weeks, initial report. Okay, cool. Colts game happens, obviously doesn't play. And then right after, Rob Domofsky says he was actually pretty close in playing this game. Well, the day after, Ian Rapoport, Diana Rossini saying, it is a serious injury. He could be out that originally allotted 3 to 6 weeks. It's like, okay. And then all of a sudden, he starts practicing. You know, he practiced every single practice last week. And then this is what made me really perk up. Rob Domofsky or someone in the presser asked Steno, "How will you know when Jordan's ready to go?" And Steno said, "I think he'll tell us." Which is different because the week before, Matt said he has to get medically cleared. And then it turned into this weird, well, he's cleared to practice. Is he cleared to play in an actual game? And then after the game, LaFleur, you know, there was just some general questions about Malik and Jordan Love and stuff. And kind of without there being a question about Jordan's health, LaFleur puts out that it's a legitimate injury, which is very weird. There was also the whole he worked out before the game. It was a very long, extensive workout, which people say they put guys who aren't playing through that just so that they kind of get that workout in anyways, and they knew he wasn't going to play. But either way, we've kind of heard back and forth. LaFleur hinted at that maybe it's Jordan making the calls. Maybe it's the medical staff. Todd, do you have any idea? Who should make the call? Do you have any inkling either which way?
Who should make the call? Okay, that's an interesting question too, because is it, you know, Jordan's body, Jordan's choice, right? So true, he should be able to decide. I mean, ultimately, if Jordan is like, I'm not playing, he's not playing, right? Like, that's ultimately he gets the decision. I want my quarterback. This is tough. Because, like, you want your quarterback to be Rodgers, to be Favre, like, as much as, like, Favre is Iron Man. And, like, Rodgers doesn't get enough credit, in my opinion, of just, like, the stuff he played through and didn't complain about and didn't tell the media about, like, Rodgers likes to talk about stuff, but, like, he did not talk about his injuries and he did not complain about that shit. And, like, what did he have? Like, a broken tibia one year or something like that? Like, what year was that?
He had broken leg. You know, he partially tore his MCL against the Bears. His rookie year, he really fucked up his shoulder. Willie talks a lot about how he, the day of the game, they went down to the Don Hutson Center and he had approved to Doc McKenzie that he could throw. And that's how they okayed him to play in that game.
So that's what I want that out of my quarterback. So I want Jordan Love to be chomping at the bit to come back. And I want Doc McKenzie, like, don't put his pads in his locker so he doesn't go out there and play. Like, that's what I want the mentality from my quarterback to be. Ultimately, it's got to be Jordan's decision. But, like, I don't want him. I just, you know what I mean? Like, I want the Favre mentality, right? Like, we all want that for our team.
It is that odd spot, too, where he just got this huge deal, and he's also a young guy. And just the way Malik played, that probably played into it, too. You know, if we went into that Colts game and he played like shit, maybe Matt is like, hey, Jordan, come on. Can you buck up and play for us here? Because the other thing that Rob Domofsky talked about last week, I think it was on Jen Gavin Chu. I don't know. I just, whenever Rob or Wildy's talking, I usually listen to that podcast. And he did say in that one that, and I mean, we kind of knew it anyways, but he just said it outright when they were tiptoeing around it last year, that Bakhtiari was medically cleared to play, but he did not feel comfortable playing on his knee. And that's one of those things, and it's nothing against Dave, but it's like, if that is true, Dave, you owe us millions of dollars for last year. I am an owner. You played one game and then you're like, no, it's not good enough anymore. It's like, buddy, come on. I think it's a little bit of both here with Jordan Love, where it's like, well, we feel good enough about Malik. We don't want to risk anything. And I'm going to play this here. Now, this is Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. When they were talking about Jordan Love and his availability, Mark Chmura, who is the former tight end for the Packers, he got into some extracurricular activities as well in his time with the Packers. but here's this clip, and I found this very interesting, and it was one of those aha moments at the end.
Somebody mentioned this when we were doing our show in the YouTube comments, and I went back and looked it up. RG3 had like a PCL injury. Second year as a starter, maybe he misses one game, he plays through it, and then he suffers like a major knee injury. And remember, that dude was never the same after that. Like, correct. It was done for him. He's on TV shortly thereafter, right? So if I am protecting Jordan's interest, if he's my brother, if he's my son, if he's my client, whatever it is, if I'm in his circle, I'm like, look, dude, if you don't feel comfortable going out there, don't go out there. The stakes are too high. So I don't know enough about it. I haven't talked to Jordan about it, But I do think that there's a feeling that, I mean, otherwise, why does LaFleur say that? He's trying to be honest. He's also trying to protect the player. And it almost feels like he's kind of caught in the middle and he doesn't really know what narrative he wants to get out there.
And he's probably, my guess is, a little pissed.
Yes.
Because the agent's calling the shots here and not the medical team. That's how I see it.
I think all those things are components of it. But again,
Ponsel picked up on all the breadcrumbs over there. Attaboy.
He's very good. Hansel Chimura.
So the big thing there, and it's something that I hadn't thought about, but it's the agent. And one, it could be like, I don't know. I don't think it's Jordan Love's agent's call. What is it, David Malagula or something? Some fun
no
name
idea.
To say. If you remember, do you remember how training camp started this year?
With a whistle.
I like it. Yes. Jordan Love was holding out, and we talked about it on here, how it was against Jordan Love's wishes to hold out. If it was up to him, he would have been practicing, but he was told by his agency not to, and how that would help with, you know, negotiations. Now it seems like, one, it's the whole RG3 thing. Sure, you don't want to hurt him.
But that also doesn't carry weight.
The RG3 thing?
He's not RG3. It's a different injury.
Yes.
Aaron Jones played
yes.
with the same injury.
I agree. Yes.
Apples and oranges.
Yeah, sure. Throw that out. Fine. But I do think it's Jordan Love's agent getting involved and trying to be the bad guy instead of Jordan. And maybe, I don't know if the agent's like, hey, Jordan, if you don't feel 100%, don't play. And he went along with his agent in training camp. He could potentially be doing it here. I think he's going to play this week. I think it's pretty clear. But again, it's funny how just these things in the NFL work and how it becoming more of a business has changed the way a lot of these guys view it. Because like we said, someone who's fucking thick-skinned or, you know, kind of an idiot like Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre are going to force their way out on that field. And maybe this is kind of that new generation. Again, this is, you know, the first superstar quarterback we've had coming into the league. You know what? This is his fourth, fifth year. And
yep.
Aaron Rodgers was fucking 20 years ago or whatever. It's like, this is a different NFL that we're talking about.
Should we be worried about, like, a Tom Brady, Alex Guerrero situation? Which, if, for those of you who don't remember, Alex Guerrero was the trainer who created all the drama and would, like, made the TB12 diet and all that other fun stuff. But more significantly, would, like, make Tom do his own workout. He would go to the facility and do workouts with him instead of the team workouts. Like, is this agent that involved? I don't like it. I'm old school. Like, I want Jordan Love to be like, screw you, you're my agent, you don't make my decisions, I'm going to go play football. I don't know.
And again, it's just another variable. I'm sure it's not one thing. The other thing, too, the Titans this year, their first year, they put an artificial turf. So that might have been a thing, too, where they didn't want Jordan's first game back to be on artificial turf. I don't know.
Are you switching to turf? Who's switching to turf?
The Titans,
like,
I don't know.
We got to put turf down. That's such a popular item right now.
I assume it's cheaper to maintain, and I think this might be, what, the last... They're putting a new stadium up there pretty quick, too, so I don't know. We'll see. Sure. Moving on to everyone's favorite new segment, SVP, Shit, Vomit, and Piss. And sorry, well, again, it's kind of funny, you know, we're delayed a day because I went to that concert in Moorhead. Today, SVP quote tweeted a video from the show I was at, the Sturgill Simpson concert, and he was like, wow, whoever was at this show was very lucky. And I'm like, haha, SVP, you're right. And we're going to have a SVP segment this week. So I'm sure everyone loved this segment last week. Shit, Vomit, and Piss. If you don't remember, you know, Josh Myers, the center, threw up on the ball against the Colts. But we do have an update this week. We got Shit, Vomit, and Piss for
hell yeah,
another week. All new stuff. Starting off with Shit, the Packers social media, I don't know if you saw this on Instagram, they're getting a little creative now. They're more interactive things with the players. They asked the players, what is your pregame ritual? And Daniel Whelan said, maybe take like 4 to 5 poops.
Okay, so did you, can I, maybe this is where you're going with this, but did you see on like social media, I don't know if it's Twitter or Instagram or whatever it was, but like there's these guys that go to, they're obviously like season ticket holders that go to all the Titans games, and they're sitting in the end zone and they're like calling out Daniel Whelan, and one of the guys is like, he's like, did you take your shits today or something? No, like that? Like, yeah. They're called like the end zone boys. I'll send it to you if I can find it. But they're just like chirping everybody. But like one of the clips was them talking about, they were like chirping Daniel Whelan for like taking poops. And it was hilarious.
Like they literally went to the Packers Instagram account, went to the first video, and they're like, here we go. Now we've got the dirt for these players.
Yeah, no, literally, they do their research and then they go heckle the opposing teams. And so they, in the pregame warmups, they sit in that end zone. Whether or not they have tickets there, I don't know. But like they sit down in that end zone during pregame warmups and they just chirp them. And then it's like, you know, it's like on Instagram where you have like, they put like their little thing on there. It's like the end zone boys or whatever. So that was pretty funny.
Clearly worked. 244 punting yards and 5 punts. I guess I don't know what that. That's a decent average. God, he had a 63-yard punt in that game. Holy shit.
Think like, because people always said like you don't talk shit to Michael Jordan. Like, is Daniel Whelan, like, does he have that mentality of like,
people are
same
saying,
as Michael Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, a 63-yard only.
Don't talk shit to Daniel Whelan because he'll light you
Moving
up.
Moving on to Vomit V for the week. You know, the media was still wanting to ask some questions last week about the Vomit. They asked Steno, hey, you know, he's a former football player. He was a Packer for one training camp and he played at Michigan. They asked Steno, have you ever puked on the field? He said yes. So Steno, Elton, Josh Myers, I'm sure other players have all puked on the field. He then followed up and said that when he played at Michigan, the most diabolical thing he saw was a nose tackle puke on the ball right before the center snapped it, which is just very, very funny. That, like, is that a flag? Like, it's I could see like a ref throwing a flag and being like,
nothing
this should
can
be
do.
Something.
It's like when a tree falls on your house. It's just an act of God. Nobody can stop it.
All acts of God are overlooked.
Also, I feel like all offensive linemen have thrown up at practice.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
All of them. It's just like a rite of passage.
And then, of course, we have to finish it off with piss, SVP. You know, we talked a little bit last week how we know players have definitely like peed on the sidelines. Well, our listener, Eric, he did send in some very important information. He said, I love that. It was a text to me because he's my buddy. He openers, oh man, I had one for piss. So he was at the same Bears.
And you knew immediately.
Yeah. And I was at the same Bears game as him last year. We were both like 50-yard line. I had forgotten he was at the game. I was like 20 rows behind him. He's behind the Packers bench. He said, when I went to the Bears game last year, they now pee in the cart where the surface tablets charge. Right before kickoff, Aaron Jones was standing at the cart, staring up at the stands, and I was trying to figure out what he was doing. As he turned around, he was hiking up his pants. Later in the game, Rashawn Gary was doing the same thing, but with trainers holding towels. After Rashawn was done, the trainers opened a side door and took out a blue medical-looking plastic bag, tied it up, and threw it away. So,
are they... So he's saying that you can see their upper half while they're peeing. That's the most alpha thing, to just stare at a crowd of like 80,000 people and just pee. Yeah. Just stare at them.
That's a good... Yeah, so how would you... Ooh, ranking pees. Because my number one pee is being out at the hunting shack. There's a foot of snow. I'm pissed drunk. And I go out...
Oh, peeing in the snow.
And then you just look up at the stars. That is... an elite pee. This one would be pretty good too. That is kind of asserting your dominance, you know, like when you get a dog that gets out and it pisses in someone else's yard to mark their territory. That's kind of what you're doing there at Lambeau at your home stadium.
That's a really tough one, because that's a really good pee. I would say, like, similarly, when, like, if you get like out of the ice house and then you have to pee when you walk out of the ice house, like, that's a good one too. Because just like the brisk, it's like you're in the ice house, it's nice and hot, and then you get out and you pee in the cold, like, and you typically like don't have, because you don't have a jacket on, right? Because it's hot in the ice house.
How about this, Todd? For those who may not know what you're talking about, what is an ice house?
Okay, so an ice house that you put on a lake.
A frozen
in the
lake.
Could be a river. Yeah. Yep. Frozen body of water in the winter, and you ice fish. You put a whole, some people catch fish. I don't catch any fish. I just drink. But you put a hole in the ice, and then you fish for fish. And then you, sometimes you catch fish, sometimes you don't. But you always drink beer. And then so you get out and you pee. And it's like chilly, but it's like the good kind of cold, like, which everybody who's listening to this is from the Midwest, so mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. You know that good cold, like when you're warm and you go outside, and it's like really, it could be -5, but it's just like you can feel like the moisture on your forehead freeze while you're out
there.
The
nostril hair freezing up is...
Yeah, it's like that. So it's like, and then you're not out there for very long, so you never really get cold, then you just hop back in. That's an A+P. But I would also say just like anytime you break the seal, that's a pretty good P.
Yeah. And I guess when you're rushing home and you have to piss, there's been times where I've rushed home and I just pee in the backyard because I'm like, I can't make it.
Well, that's a good point, because the longer you hold it, the better the pee.
That's true.
Right? So it's like the more relieving that pee is, you know, you're like edging the pee.
Yeah. That reminds me, very topical. P. Diddy, I remember like the early 2000s, he had like a viral clip of him like peeing in a public urinal, like moaning because he's like, oh, that first one is just, oh, I just got to break the seal. And it's like, this is weird. And now looking back, it's even worse.
Yeah, super weird. Worse.
So there you go. Hey, SVP, what a. This might be a top segment here. We're going to have to keep maybe the bi-week bonanza.
Keep sending in the content so we can talk about it.
We need shit, vomit, and piss every single week, and I'm sure everyone loves this. Next segment, Todd, I guess I don't know. Do you have a stump spenny from Billy?
Oh, shit. I do. Okay. Give me like a half a second to find it here.
Okay.
Was that half a second?
No, it's been a little bit more than that. I'm trying to think of.
Okay, so the stump spendy for the week is Malik Willis is 2-0 as a starter this year. Who was the last Packers backup QB to win back-to-back starts?
Jesus Christ. I mean,
man, I told Billy that this was going to be easy for you.
Well, I mean, the obvious one is Matt Flynn, but that seems too obvious. I don't think Scott Tolzien ever had back-to-back wins. Jordan Love wasn't a backup. Not Doug Peterson, I don't know. Obviously not, because Favre never missed a game. Yeah, it has... Yeah, Matt Flynn.
It is Brett Hundley in 2017, Tampa and Cleveland.
Oh, God, he was so...
I thought you were going to nail that one just because it's so
I try
recent.
Not to think. That season where he came in was just so bad. That Baltimore loss.
Well, and he wasn't good.
Yeah, back-to-back wins.
They won.
Yeah. But it was just, ugh. I don't even want to think. I never bet on Packer games because something bad happens. Either they lose outright or something else. That Packer-Viking game in December, I believe, at Lambeau, I bet against the Packers and I took the under and both hit. And I remember I was like, I can't do this again because Jason Spriggs got hurt and he was like a second or third year player. I'm like, fuck, he tore his ACL. He's going to come back, you know, midseason next year. He's not going to be anything. Well, the knee injury wasn't actually that bad. And actually Jason Spriggs wasn't a good football player. So
the knee injury wasn't bad, but Jason Spriggs was.
God, I was bad. Fuck. I should have at least thought about Brett Hundley, but I've pushed him out of my brain. I always think of who's starting for the Dolphins potentially now? Huntley.
Yeah. But they're different people. I mean, worlds different.
All right. Well, game preview. We have the preview of the Viking game. And Todd, I believe you have it prepared this week. You want to get us ready for the Viking game?
Yeah. So never have prepared a game preview before. So I just went through and I pulled up like all the stats. I can just have all of it. So I guess, do we start with Vegas? Vegas has the Packers at -2.5.
Ooh, okay. So they think the Vikings are a little bit better than us right now.
So that's what I look, because I thought earlier in the week they were +2.5.
Oh, really? Hmm.
I could be wrong. Maybe I misread.
Know. Either way.
Anyways, Packers minus 2.5. The over-under is 43.5.
More than last week. Last week it was 36.5. That's still not a very high over-under. Okay.
It doesn't feel very high. Yeah, I kind of feel like this game's going to be a little bit more of a barn burner. So, what's interesting, I haven't watched any Vikings game this year, but the Vikings seem to have, just if you kind of look at where their rankings and everything fall, a really good defense and an offense that is very opportunistic. So they lead the league in passing touchdowns, which I thought, I mean, and that's interesting too. So their red zone passing game must be extremely good because it seems to me like they're middle of the road in yards and middle of the road in, I think, rushing too. Their rushing yards are 13, pass yards are 14. And so like that offense isn't like overly exciting, but that defense, mm-hmm. I mean, they're number two in scoring defense. They're also number three in scoring offense for what's worth, but they're number two in scoring defense and they're number two in rush yards and rush touchdowns.
And I believe they lead the league in sacks.
Yeah. So they are, I think they do too. Yeah. I didn't pull that one
up. Positive.
But like their turnover ratio isn't great. They're only plus two.
That's surprising.
As a team. So they've lost four and they've taken away six. So I don't know. It's an interesting, I feel like there's a lot of hype around them. I think a little bit of that is because we thought they were going to do so poorly. Mm-hmm. One with just the fact that like their defense didn't look like it was going to be very good this year. I guess maybe that was my own opinion, but like with no corners, it seemed that like all their corners were just like disappearing.
Hey,
I don't know. It's just
Todd,
a weird, you, I didn't, I wasn't, I,
if you
I
know,
stayed away.
If
I didn't, all I said,
if you know, we're not going to say it. If you know, you know,
I stayed away from it. And pat myself on the back for doing that.
And then I just pushed us right back into it.
Yeah, I don't know. This team is a little bit interesting to me and like where they're at. It feels like they're either like they are the real deal and they're going to surprise us, or that offense is going to fall apart and that defense is going to, you know, the defense is going to be the strong suit and then like the rest of it's just going to kind of fall apart to the wayside because I don't really understand how they're, where they're at. But again, I haven't watched a single game from them, so that's a tough one to have a real opinion
Fair.
On.
Yeah, I mean, they are a weird team. They, you know, they've scored quite a few points, you know, one of the top scoring teams in the NFL, like you said. The offensive line is just kind of where that hole is. And their interior offensive line is not great.
Yeah, and they get pressured all the time, but they're not, I don't know,
one
it's weird.
Pass blocking
like their offensive line isn't good.
Yeah, Ryan O'Neal, I believe, is hurt. Is it Ryan O'Neal or Brian O'Neal?
No, Ryan O'Neal.
We went to high school.
We went to high school. Okay. Yeah,
he's Mormon. Shout out Jamal Williams at BYU. Also, this game is at noon on CBS. Kevin Harlan on the call. Very, very cool. That's going to be a weird feel because Packer. Nothing is more Fox than Packer Vikings, but it's CBS, which makes it go. But then it's Kevin Harlan, and I'm like, fuck yeah, because he's, you know, the best, and he's the son of Bob Harlan, who saved the Packers franchise. But yeah, the defense, fuck, it's so good. I think they have one of the highest blitzing rates in the NFL. Matt LaFleur said that Flores runs his defense different than anyone else in the league. And yeah, I mean, fucking last year, they just had a bunch of bums, and they were still a above-average defense. They have, God, what's his name? I hate that that he plays for the Vikings. Oh, it's... Is it Greenard? Who's the blonde?
Grenard.
Well, it's Grenard. Who's the guy with the long blonde hair?
Oh, from Wisconsin. He's the linebacker from Wisconsin.
Van
who
Ginkle?
Plays. He plays all over Van Ginkle. Yeah, that sounds right.
He's fun, too. I do have a scouting report from my buddy Kyle, who's a Vikings fan. He said, yeah, don't plug Greenard with a tight end. Crazy disguises from Flores, whatever. Flores loves LaFleur. Oh, so they were saying nice things about each other. That's cute. I do wonder, like, the Vikings are kind of in a nice spot right now with Brian Flores as their DC and Kevin O'Connell, who I think are both very, very good offensive and defensive-minded coaches.
Yeah.
What's nice for them is I don't know if Flores is ever going to be a head coach again. And I think Jeff Hafley is a pretty attractive, you know, head coach potentially in the very near future here. And then, yeah, same thing here where he says the interior offensive line is bad. Ingram is absolutely trash. And he said that nobody throws at Gilmore. nobody throws at Gilmore. I think that's going to change because Gilmore is an old, slower corner. And God, if there's, you know, what would be a great start to this game? You remember how
the toss of Christian Watson down the
how 2022 started
like
and then we
year?
Dropped it. Yeah.
Yeah. That,
or that I know time ago. Flies, but that would be a pretty cool way to start this off. I'm going to throw this out there too. Obviously, Aaron Jones, for those who have Twitter, he put out a nice piece on the Players Tribune where he talked about, you know, this being his first game back at Lambeau, how important Green Bay is to him, how he said he's not going to have a G on his helmet, but he'll always have a G in his heart, I think is what he said, right?
Aww.
Love him. I mean, Aaron Jones is the absolute best. And I've saw other people, that fucking J.J. Leahy, he's fine, whatever. I think he does the Packernet stuff. He's just a troll on Twitter half the time. Now, I swear to God, it's like you try to be so dense and you can't look at what he's saying. He was saying that he like said how much better it is in Minnesota. He never said it's better in Minnesota. He said it's special and something he hasn't experienced before, like something like this. You know why he hasn't experienced something like this? Because he's playing for a fucking franchise who hasn't won anything and they don't have fucking expectations. So when they start off 3-0 with a backup quarterback, it's surprising and it's special. So maybe fucking get over it. And it's not that he doesn't like Green Bay, you fucking shithead.
Also, what's he supposed to say? This place sucks. Yeah. Who's not going to be like, he's on the team. Like, what is it? He's like, this is great. He's not going to be like, yeah, this kind of sucks. Like, oh, he's not going to say that. And I don't think he thinks that, but I'm just saying, like, he's not going to say something bad.
It's weird how you have to say nice, whatever. And looking at this, too, you know, I'm still very happy that Josh Jacobs is our running back this year, but Aaron Jones, 42 carries this year, 5.4 average. Josh Jacobs, 62 carries, 4.5 average. So nearly a whole yard better for Aaron Jones. Receptions, Aaron Jones has 12 for 97 yards. Josh Jacobs has 3 for 25. So total yards on the season, Aaron Jones has 325 to Josh Jacobs, 303. Aaron Jones is getting paid at tops, $6 million this year. Josh Jacobs got 12.5. So just something to think about. Again, the way the roster is structured now, I think Aaron Jones would be a little tough. I mean, Emmanuel Wilson is fine, but I still like a durable guy that we had in Josh Jacobs who had, what, 30 carries against the Colts. I don't think Aaron Jones would be able to do that. But Viking game, Todd, I know we already talked quite a bit there about it, but how are you feeling? Do you think Is this the time for what, Cinderella, fucking glass slipper, whatever?
I was kind of nervous just like looking at this game when I started looking at it, but the more that I dove into it, like just something about that offense doesn't, like when you look at the numbers, like it doesn't scare me as much. And then the defense seems like the real deal, but I think the running defense is pretty stout. So having Jordan Love back feels kind of paramount here. Like having him back to be able to sling that rock around feels like a big thing. But the Titans were also supposed to be really good against the run too, and it didn't really matter. So, but granted, that roster's got a lot less talent on it. I think Sam Darnold's playing a lot better than Will Levis too, so that factors in.
What a weird thing to say.
It is, isn't it? But like Will Levis is just, and that offensive line was bad. I mean, I don't know. Is the Vikings offensive line as bad as the way the Titans offensive line looked in the second half? Because it looked, I mean, that offensive line was holes everywhere.
I don't know. I mean, the Titans, their tackles are bad. They still haven't been able to find anyone to replace Tyler Lewis. I mean, look at, God, what's his name? Our backup swing tackle. Fuck.
I don't know what you're saying. Backup.
Yeah, the guy who we signed. Dillard? Yeah, thank you. Andre Dillard. He was the Titans tackle last year, and he's our backup now. So it just shows you what a bad spot that their roster's at.
But like, is the Vikings? The Vikings?
No, they're tackles. They have one of the better tackle tandems in the league.
Right. O'Neal's good, and I forget who their left tackle is, but
Darashaw. Awesome. Awesome name.
That's right. Christian Darashaw.
But then their interior, it's Garrett Bradbury, who fucking sucks. And I'm so glad that he had a decent year in his contract year, so they re-signed him. Ingram's a bad guard, and I think the other guard's halfway decent, so
Brandle? Blake Brandle?
That's like a fake name. That sounds like, oh, I'm thinking of Randall
name
from Monsters, Inc.
But it's Brandle.
It's another. It's a Steve Brule name. Hey, my name's Brandle. Hey, I'm Brandle Branches. But Packer-Viking game here, Todd. I'll start things off with my score prediction. I wish this game was going on in October, because if it were going up against Sam Darnold, we know it would be spooky season and he would probably seeing some ghosts like he did in New York. I don't know. They have to be due to have a bad game, 3-0, and it's still crazy too, because I mean they beat good teams. It was Houston and the Niners, and I forgot who it was week one. But Lambeau, I don't know. They kind of fell apart last year late in the season. I still love seeing this shit on Twitter. People are like, oh, Flores carved apart Jordan Love last year at Lambeau. It's like, yeah, we were really fucking bad then. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I think Jordan Love, he can test Stephon Gilmore a couple times. That secondary that's getting old and, you know, disappearing, as Todd said. I think the Packers are going to win 17-28. Todd, what is yours and Billy's score predictions?
I'm going to do Billy's first. So Billy had a score prediction of 28-21 Packers.
Okay. That's a touchdown.
Which is more in the realm of where I think it's going to be a bit of a barn burner, if you will. So I have the Packers winning 32-29.
Jesus. That'd be a fun game. I would take it.
And I kind of went back and forth about it, but I just feel like they're set up well enough to attack us where we're weak, and I think that we can attack them where they're weak, and I think I don't think these defenses are bad. That's not really what I'm saying with that, but, like, I think we can attack their corners.
Yeah.
And I think that they can probably attack us in the middle of the field where we're vulnerable. So that's, like, Aaron Jones in the middle of the field creating on his own is just, like, I loved it, but, like, it's making me a little bit sick, and that's part of the reason why I was really scared about this week. But I think we pull it out. I think things are going to be okay. We pull it out, but I do think it's going to be a close game.
Man, you know, I didn't really visualize what it would look like, but then I did.
Dude, imagine Quay in the hole and Aaron Jones just wiggles by him. That's what's going
to
happen.
He waves to him as he scores the touchdown or whatever. I'd be like, oh my God.
Oh, like what he did to Dallas? Like,
legit, I don't think if Aaron Jones has a good game, it would be the worst feeling at Lambeau for one of these rival things since Brett Favre beat us in 2007.
If we lose and Aaron Jones goes for like 180 yards.
Podcast is over. We both disappeared.
Oh, yeah, we'll disappear too.
My bold prediction for the week, we, you know, talked a bit. You know, I had someone else written in here, but now I'm thinking more about it. Where's the weakness on the Vikings offense? It's that interior offensive line. Who's been a little quiet so far this year for the Packers? Who makes a fucking idiot out of Garrett Bradbury? I have Kenny Clark 2 sacks in this game.
Oh, okay. I like it. Billy had the defense will hold Aaron Jones to less than 50 yards of total offense.
Ugh.
I think that's super bold.
I don't. Well, that's what sucks about this, too. I guess I don't know what he's been averaging, but Aaron Jones,
he's been doing pretty well.
Duds. It'll be huge, awesome game, and
sometimes
then duds.
But he hasn't been. Well, what are his... Yeah, anyways.
Before last year, every time he had a 100-yard rushing game, he never had back-to-back 100-yard rushing games. So it's something where his wear and tear goes down. But
fair,
yeah, 50 total yards, I suppose. I suppose that'll be bold enough. Todd, what is your bold prediction?
Jordan Love, 4 TDs through the air. Comes back and just tears him apart through the air. That's what I think.
I don't think that's super bold, but I think in today's NFL and with Jordan Love being
If I said 5, it wouldn't match up with my score predictions. That I would be contradicting myself. You know what I mean?
No, that's fair, and that is actually bold. It's funny that the NFL is emphasizing this illegal formation shit again and everything else when scoring is down. We're in a weird spot in the NFL where defense is kind of taking over. And
the run game is taking over.
That's the thing, because you think about that too with like the Lions. They're the number one rushing team in the NFL. Like, it's...
Well, actually, we are.
Sure.
But
I should say like amount that they run. Like David Montgomery and Gibbs have each had the same amount of rushing opportunities as like Saquon Barkley right now so far this year. So shit like that. Like they just run the ball a shit ton. Either way, ebbs and flows in the NFL. Yeah. We'll see. And like, did you see that shit with fucking Mel Kiper saying that they should outlaw the cover two or two deep safeties, I should say?
What? He said you should outlaw two deep safeties? It was outlaw where people line up. That's, on the field?
We are so dumb.
Is that a real comment?
I'm 32 years old. Can't I'm 32 be. Years old. It seems like our brains are just getting worse. Like our short-term memory or long-term memory just doesn't exist. It's like we're three games into the fucking season and we're like, we should get rid of two deep safeties for fantasy football. People are like, we should get rid of the tight end position. You know,
they should be allowed. Defense can be good. Like, that's okay if the defenses are good. That's okay.
Yeah, it's fine, but, you know, we do want more points, and that's what I think of, too, right now. You look at the league, and it's almost like offensive coordinators are just as important like, as quarterbacks at this point. Look at Andy Dalton. Look at Malik Willis. Look at fucking Sam Darnold. It's crazy how they're making a lot of these, you know, guys who are kicked around the league into elite passers on a, you know, weekly basis here and there.
I have a piss. So... Mm-hmm. What you're talking about is like we should just score more points, right? Everyone should score more points every year. It should be highest.
But like, I don't know what you said there, but
if you just pee right away when you have to pee, right? Then like you never have a really good pee. So like this is our like we're holding it year, right? So we're gonna have like a year where like we don't score a lot of points in the NFL. And then, like, next year, when we'd score a bunch of points, we'd be like, oh, my God, this is crazy. You remember last year we didn't score any points? Like, that's you breaking the seal.
Well, hopefully we have – that's what happened with the Packers offense last year. We held it up through October.
This is league-wide. All of us – we're all in the league. We're all in the car. And we there's nowhere to stop. We can't – it's a daytime ride. So, like, we can't just pee on the side of the road.
Let's hope we hold it in and come playoffs. We can release and – have some points.
Even better than the playoffs are crazy. You don't have to hold it till next year. You can hold it just for a couple months.
Perfect analogy there, Todd. With that, if you like this, and I'm sure you love this entire episode, especially the piss, vomit, and shit talk, please review the podcast on Spotify or iTunes. You can leave a review too on both, or leave a comment on Spotify. Yeah, on Spotify, I think I'm slowly getting it. If you leave a comment, I can publish it and reply to it so people can see what you say too.
How do you leave a comment on Spotify? You just like go to the Poor Man's Packers podcast
you comment on the episode, not the podcast.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
If you had something specific about this one, if we said something wrong, which never happens, if we said something smart, which always happens, you can let us know. You know, you don't have to correct us. You can just give us praise or, I don't know, maybe you're curious about what the hell is wrong with us.
So I went and I looked, and when you click on the episode on your phone in Spotify, at the bottom of the screen, it says comments. And it's just, well, this one says be the first to leave a comment, but it won't say that when you guys go in there.
It's going to be flooded with comments.
There's so many comments with piss, vomit, and shit.
Just comment that. Just comment that.
So the comments
make
public?
Them public. There are comments, too, that I haven't posted, like, hey, I miss Kyle. So, you know, those ones are...
I think they should all be public. You
when
should make
it first
them all
started
public.
Happening, I didn't realize how it worked. Now I realize how it worked. Before, you might not have been able to publish them.
Make them say something rude to us. Yeah, say something mean to us, but then just leave a 5-star review also. So we know you still like us, but like you
can be, make fun of us, but leave a 5-star review and we'll... Yeah, any cool...
Guy stuff.
Comments and
guys
reviews
make fun
we'll
of each other.
Say on the podcast. So if you're bored and you want to... You know, you go, oh, they said my name while I was listening to the podcast the next week. That's what we have become. We have sunk that low. So, Todd, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
The Packers force more turnovers than anybody else in the league. Look for that trend to continue.
Very fun. Very cool. Something not as fun or cool. AJ Dillon, please take us out.
To anybody on Twitter or whatever. You can't do what we're doing. Just enjoy. Just watch. Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah. Cause it just won't pay. I worked all year. I worked all month. Then they took my money away. Yeah. Well, now I don't care.
how I was putting the dock in.
Fine. It was a little windy.
Bringing the dock in. Putting the dock, bringing it in. Taking it out.
There's those two trees on the shoreline. Top of the birch tree fell off. Like, while we were in the middle of it. Like, it got windy and it broke and it started falling. We were like, Mike, move. Because he was underneath the trees. Like, he started falling. He got caught. And I never got to see it fall. But then the rest of the time, because we had to go, like, walk the dock up the landing area there. And the whole time we're like, is it going to fall on us and kill us? Because it was a big fucking branch. It was at the top of the tree.
So did Mike... Is Mike still with us?
Yeah.
Okay.
He lived.
Shout out to Mike, if this makes the bonus audio.
Maybe.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.